this game.
Kobe Bryant off balance. Yeah. And Shaquille O'Neal is there. Bryant, touchdown FAU.
And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League.
The Denver Nuggets stand on top of the NBA world.
The Philadelphia.
Hello and welcome to Cheers from the Press Box. I'm your host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my co-host, as always.
What's up, everybody? Brennan Tassif coming to you live from New York City.
All right. Well, folks, we are getting ready for the NBA playoffs. The Masters just took place, and
playoffs
still isn't finished with its regular season.
Dude, when you sent that Discord, I was like,
I swear on this show for 3 weeks, I've been like, isn't the playoffs around
we're
inching closer. And then it's like, how is the NBA done and you're still going on? This is perplexing. It's like a riddle, unsolvable riddle. Fulham, I don't think it's played a game since we last talked.
Because
they have a game coming up today when you're listening to this. I thought that game was on Sunday. Then it appeared to be on Monday. I was very confused.
Did you wake up early to watch it?
Yeah, I kind of did. I'm up at 9:30 like, wait, what's happening here? But all right, let's get to it.
Ready to return the opening kickoff. Perfect way to kick off.
Here we go.
And it's funny that I ended with soccer because the NBA did the thing, they took another thing from soccer, similar to the in-season tournament, which they took. They did the thing that soccer has done and effectively perfected. That feels like poor English. Essentially perfected. They played all the Eastern Conference games at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
And then they played all the Western Conference games at 3:30.
Therefore, no scoreboard watching.
No scoreboard watching. All the games were overlapping. Teams had to effectively in, you know, positioning for the playoffs. You just had to play all out. You couldn't try to be like, all right, now we can sit our guys because the other team's losing anyways. It's kind of like, nope, you are locked in for 48 minutes. So that was cool. I can't remember if they did it last year, but I know it was something I was thinking they needed to move towards. So that allowed us to have some pretty interesting games, mainly in the Western Conference because the East was pretty much all sealed up. And then the Bucks beat the Pistons. But that was already sealed up, like I said. The Nuggets, the number 4 seed going into today, had to face off against the number 2 seed in the Rockets. The Rockets played their starters for, if I could do the math here, 36 minutes? No. 36, take off about half of that. So 28 minutes, give or take. Halfway into the third quarter, they were down by like 26, 28 points. The Nuggets had poured it on after starting the third quarter with a 27 run. And then the Rockets threw up the white flag. They drew all their starters, put in the backups. The Nuggets secured the number 4 seed.
No reason to get anybody hurt.
The T-Wolves faced off against the Jazz. The Jazz, one of the worst teams in the NBA. T-Wolves fighting to get in the top 6. It was close at the half. I believe it was like a 1 or 2 point game at the half. But the Timberwolves eventually pulled away and secured the number 6 spot, which left for a very interesting matchup between the Clippers and the Warriors. Now, how it was positioned at this point, going into the day, the Warriors were 6th, the Clippers were 5th. But if the Warriors lost, the Warriors became 7th because the Timberwolves, everyone just assumed the Timberwolves were going to beat the Jazz because the Jazz are terrible. So the Timberwolves will lock into the 6th spot. And if the Clippers lost, the Clippers would fall out of the top 6 into the play-in at number 7. So
just real quick, I don't mean to interrupt, but the thing that always blows my mind, especially with the seeding in the NBA, because it's not like the NFL where if you win your division, you automatically get a home playoff win or a home playoff berth. obviously, because the Magic won their division and they're in the play-in. The thing I do like about it, though, it's like, no, like it's best record. So that's how we're playing. So you, like you were talking about, can feasibly fall from one loss, two, three, sometimes four spots if everything falls the right way, which is devastating.
Oh, see, at this point, divisions are just for like, you know, banners. If you want to raise a banner, like I think the Orlando Southeast division. Yeah. So if you want to do that,
Hawks and Heat.
But you're still in the play-in because you weren't that dang good. Back in the day, they used to slot it in where 1, 2, 3 went to the best divisions, no matter record. So you'd have a team at 3 that maybe had a worse record than the team at 4 or 5.
That would be crazy if the Magic were 41-41 and ahead
and a third seed.
Yeah.
Thankfully they got away with that. But so the Warriors and the Clippers, 5 and 6. Somebody's dropping to the 7th seed. It was a close game at the half. It was, 60-60 at the half. A one-point difference in after the third quarter, Warriors way. And then it was tied up after 4. Steph is having a game. James Harden is having a game. Kawhi is having a game. Jamon Green at this point has hit 3 threes. He's 60-58
at the half, Clippers.
60. Oh, you're right. 60-58. Yeah, my bad.
So yeah, it was close. I just 2 point quick math.
I thought I did the math wrong. I thought they just had the opposing quarters, first 2 quarters. And then so this game goes into overtime. 5 minutes of overtime. We got extra basketball, baby. Kawhi and James Harden are taking over overtime. Norman Powell is assisting them in that. Zubac is also playing really well. But, you know, the other team does have Stephen Curry, as well as Jimmy Butler now. And Draymond was having a game for all games for himself. He had a 4th three-pointer in this game. And it comes down to about 6 seconds left. I think Kawhi just hit 1 of 2 free throws to make it a 3-point game. And no, to make it a, yeah. Was it a 3-point game at this point? Hold on. Let me go to the play-by-play real quick. Overtime.
I got it right here.
Did he make it a 3-point game or a 2-point game?
You said 6 seconds left?
Kawhi.
122-119.
Yes.
But he healed, comes in the game, so that must have been on those free throws.
Kawhi makes it a 3-point game. They bring Buddy Hield into the game. The Warriors have 6 seconds.
Kawhi makes 2 of 2, so it's a 3-point game.
The Warriors run out of bounds. They call a timeout after he makes the free throws. The Warriors run an out-of-bounds play. You know, I know, everyone in the stand knows that obviously we're running this play for one Wardell Stephen Curry.
Yeah, he actually entered the game at that moment to do this play.
And I see where he's positioned, and I'm like, okay, they're going to run off him. He's going to go collect the ball, and then he's going to shoot a 3 because obviously Steph Curry is going to take the shot. Well, that's not what they did. Steve Kerr, I believe, overthought it. They ran an out-of-bounds play for Buddy Hield, who then takes a falling three-pointer and just, like, hits all iron. Like, hits the side of the iron. Doesn't even go over the rim. It was one of the worst shots I've ever seen, especially for the scenario and the position. And because, again, Stephen Curry, the greatest three-point shooter in the history of the NBA, is right over there. So they miss that, and that pretty much seals their fate. They fall down to the 7th seed. They are in the play-in. The Clippers hold on to the number 5 seed. They will face off against the Warriors, against the Nuggets.
Oh, I've never looked. Have you ever looked at this play-by-play before?
Yeah, all the time.
You were right. I'm sorry. I was like, because it says makes free throw 2 of 2. I was like, oh, no, you made both free throws. But no, like 3 lines ahead of it, it says misses free throw 1 of 2. And then there's all this other stuff that happens and then makes free throw 2 of 2. That's so bananas.
It's saying he makes the second shot, not both of the free throws. So, yeah.
That's so crazy. This is so. God, it's every single play.
Are you just discovering play-by-play?
Yes. I've only ever used this for the NFL when I'm watching Red Zone, but trying to keep track of what's going on with the Jags.
Oh, no. I do this all the time, baby. I discovered this back in high school.
This is probably astounding. Even middle
school. Especially middle school when I didn't have, all the NBA TVs and the, cracked stuff.
Well, and it's one of those things, too, where you'll watch a game and then I'll be like, wait, did that play happen? Especially with basketball, because it's so fast compared to football. I'll be like, it was going into the second quarter, third quarter, second quarter. And I'm like, God, I fucking can't remember. I know I watched the game.
Yeah, no. But so this locks in both the play-in and the people not playing in as we get ready for the postseason. Brendan, so who do you have? We did this a couple weeks ago, but now everything is locked and secure. The Eastern Conference, I think we both agree that the Magic and the Bulls.
Yep.
Or did you have the Hawks?
No, I hate the Hawks. Magic Bulls? And the Bulls.
Okay. In the Western Conference, we didn't know who was going to be there. Now we do. The Suns are completely eliminated after Kevin Durant got hurt. That was pretty much the death knell of their season. So we have
not laughing at injury, just laughing at all the money they've dumped into this team, and then they didn't make the playoffs.
We have the Warriors at 7. We have the Grizz at 8. So they will face off first, and then we have the Kings and the Mavs. Brendan, of these four teams, who do you have making it out?
I think we talked about this last week. Also, I just want to, what do they call it on PTI? Errors and omissions.
Okay.
So last week when we were talking about this, I was under the impression that if you came into the play-in as the 7th seed, if you made the playoffs, you were still the 7th seed. That is not how it works. So if you come in as the 7th seed but lose the first game
and win
the second, you drop to the 8th seed. So that actually changes the way I was looking at the matchups moving forward. I think Golden State makes it. I think Golden State will win the first game and go in as the 7th seed. Okay. And then I'm going to be honest. I had so much affinity for this team 2 years ago. I love this team. I think the Grizz can make a little bit of... I just think the Kings... The Mavericks are ravaged by injury. The Mavericks are out. I think the Kings just don't have it. I just think the Grizzly are a better team. I think it's the Grizz.
Okay. I think 7 and 8 will remain as 7 and 8. The Warriors and the Grizzlies, they are head and shoulders better than the Kings and the Mavs.
Yeah. And the record Kings, proves it too.
Yeah. I would say both of these teams are sub 500 teams. This is not a year like last year where all the top 10 teams were above 500 or at least close to it. I think the Kings did make some moves later in the season, trying to bring in Zach LaVine to add more offense. A little too late. I just don't think it clicked in the way that they wanted it to. It hasn't added that much more firepower. It's diminished the roles of some of their guys. Not enough chemistry, with such a late season acquisition. And I think Memphis has been playing together long enough. I think actually watching the game against the Nuggets the other day, they've added more pick and roll in now that they fired Taylor Jenkins. Ja looks dangerous, but the biggest issue I've seen in his game, and the NBA is moving in this direction, so this is, it was only a matter of time, and it's only going to get worse for him. Is he's settling for too many threes, too many jumpers. He's not attacking the basket as much as he did in the past.
Yeah.
He said that early in the year he was not going to attack the basket as much. I think it's
we've
also
seen that
like a health preservation thing.
Yeah.
Because we've seen him get, have injuries over the last two or so seasons. But if they're going to have that pick and roll threat with Edie out there and he's not going to attack the basket, I think that is, I think that is not, it's not the best use of Ja Morant's abilities and his athleticism.
This is RG3 in the NFL when he was like, I'm going to stop running. And it's like,
I'm
going to
stop
running
quarterback.
It's like,
brother. Okay. Let's even say you're not a running quarterback. Like if we want to follow his logic.
Yeah.
You know what makes you special? Your ability to run.
Yeah. And I don't mean to say he's a running quarterback because he's a black quarterback. I mean to say he was a track star in high school. He's a runner.
No, I agree. He is a running quarterback, but I'm saying he wanted to move away from the label of being a running quarterback. Was the whole thing. And it's like, okay, I hear you, but you know the thing that makes you special is your ability to run, my brother.
That always blows my mind when athletes do that. Like with Ja, he's so powerful when he goes to the basket. He's like, nah, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's like, yeah, you know the shoe deal with Nike was because of the cool, crazy dunks, right, man?
It's because you kept – did you watch the commercials where you kept dunking on person after person after person? Like, that's why we did that.
It'd be like if Wemby's like, yeah, I don't want to play down low. And it's like –
it's like if Steph said, you know what? I'm a dunker now. Like, wait, hold on, time out.
That's a better example.
We need to discuss.
I want to be more like D. Wade and take it to the hole.
Yeah, like I want to be like AI and really, you know, rough just and tumble
heliocentric my way through this offense up.
Like, brother, I don't know if you know how this works, man. But yeah, so as far as the, if we're working with the, playing teams
based on
the
theory that we have, yeah.
What are some of the most interesting matchups out of the East? So in the 1-8 will be the Cavs and the Bulls. 2-7 would be Boston Magic, and then you have Knicks, Pistons. You have Detroit Bucks. I mean, not sorry, Pacers Bucks.
So for me, obviously, as a homer, the Magic Celtics series I find fascinating. The Celtics are definitely the better team, but we said this, what was that, 5-6 years ago? Remember when the, or no, maybe it was sooner than that, 22? Right. When the one Boston Celtics went against the 8-seed Miami Heat, this had to have been 22 because we were doing this show because I was like, there's no way.
Is it 22? It's when the Nuggets won the championship.
Yeah. So that was 22, right?
22?
22 or 23? Because I just remember saying there is 22? No. Yeah. Because it was 21-22 because then 22-23.
Yeah. That would be 22-23 because that's when the Nuggets won. Because last year the Celtics won.
Yeah. The year before that it was the Nuggets.
Damn. That championship feels so long ago now.
But I just remember, when there was that 1-8 matchup, because then the next year the Boston Celtics ended up winning. But I remember being like, remember they took them to 6-7 games and it was in Boston and they still lost. And I remember thinking like, there's no way this is going to happen. That's how I feel. Fast forward present day, Boston Celtics, Orlando Magic. It's not a bad matchup for Boston, but the Magic did hold them to like 79 points like a week ago. And I know people were out.
I'm getting confused here. So 2 years ago, Boston was the 2-seed. And Heat were the 8th seed. So
was it a 2-8?
It couldn't be. There's no way it could be a 2-8.
No, because they would have never played.
Oh, that's what it was. It was a 2-8. No, you're right. It was a 2-8. The Heat lost the first play-in to the Hawks. They beat the Bulls, so they became the 8th seed. Mm-hmm. They beat the Bucks because Giannis got hurt.
He hurt his back.
And then they go on to beat someone else, I think the Sixers. And then, yes, a 2-7 with Boston, and they beat Boston to go to the championship.
Because I just remember being like, it's an 8 seed. It's an 8 seed. This is insane.
I was like, what?
And that was the year that the...
In my mind, I was just like, a 1-8? I think I would have heard a lot more about...
But that was the year that the Celtics were going back and forth between like 1-3. Like they were kind of like all over the place because they had like a horrible stretch in December. And then in January, they were like the best team statistically.
They turned it on.
Yeah.
That's the Ime year.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, though, is that we've seen this with this team and this DNA that they have lost these kind of games, these kind of series. And the Magic have, I mean, I know their star defensive player is out, but the Magic have held them to like nothing compared to what they normally score. So that's the one thing that's intriguing to me. All these other ones I think are going to be chalk. I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to roll. I think the Knicks are going to win, I think the Pistons are too young. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any other thing where it's going to be sticking out. I do think the Magic can take the Celtics to maybe 7-6. That's the most intriguing one to me. What about you in the East?
Sorry, I just want to ruminate on this one. Okay, nobody played in this game. I was about to say, God damn.
I know. But that score is very, like, what?
96 and 76 is crazy.
They didn't even break 80.
But they were playing with nobody. But
it's
the
not nobody when you have the Celtics on your fucking jersey, bro.
The 108-104 win is a better win. No Tatum. But I think you guys had nobody at that point.
Yeah, that's when everyone was hurt.
Yeah, that's
when...
That
was
when,
back in December.
That's when...
Franz, Paolo, everyone.
Franz and Paolo. I'm like, God damn, I can't think of their names. Yeah, both of them are not there. I can't see it happening. I'm going to be a coward. I can't see it until I see it. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say Boston is dealing with some injuries. Jaylen Brown, I think, sat out the entire... late part of the season, this final like week or so, with injuries.
Finals MVP Jaylen Brown.
Al Horford missed some time. Drew Holiday missed some time late in the stretch. Some, you know, being pulled out, some actual injuries. But the matchup I'm
The Horford thing, I put that guy in bubble wrap.
The matchup I'm most intrigued with out of the East is actually, I thought you were going to say the home team being where you currently reside.
Okay.
The Knicks and the Pistons.
Really?
That is going to feel like 1990s basketball.
Yeah.
That's going to feel like 1980s basketball. Like Patrick Ewing going up against Isaiah Lord and Lambeer and John Starks. Like, those two jersey, that jersey clash to me is just like shit I saw on NBA TV, Hardwood Classics and ESPN Classics. Like that, the Pistons being as good as they are now and doing it how they're doing it now, I think that makes for a very interesting matchup because the Knicks, they took a big gamble this year with getting rid of Julius Randle, getting rid of Dante DiVincenzo, bringing in Kat. Is that going to pay off? Bringing in Mikal Bridges, is that going to pay off? Are they better than they were a year ago and getting put to the test against a tough physical team like Detroit? I think that's going to speak volumes to where they want to go, especially with Brunson coming off injury too, still working his way back.
He's not going to not play, but it's going to be.
I'm interested to hear Sam Morrell all week long.
Yeah. I'll text him, see what he says. it is a fascinating thing because, you know, with doing this show, I say it all the time. It keeps me much more in the zeitgeist.
Also, just want to add in, the Pistons own the season series 3-1.
Okay. Yeah, I watched that Pistons-Bucks game. Not all of it, but I watched a lot of that game today. And it is so crazy because if you would have just blanked this whole season out of my mind and I was just watching that game, I'd be like, yeah. Obviously, the Pistons were not playing well in the first half of that game. And I was like, yeah, of course, they're the Pistons. And then I had to keep reminding myself, wait, the Pistons are good this year.
That was it. They pushed them to overtime eventually.
Yeah, but the first half of that game, they were.
Yeah, no, it looked bad. I was like, are these guys frauds? So I was like, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait, we're about to get. This was Minnesota Vikings all over again. I was like, we're about to be in the playoffs. What are we doing here?
I was like, whoa, these guys frauds. And it's like, oh, okay. They woke up. Yeah. In the Western Conference, which matchup are you most intrigued by?
This one was the easiest one for me. It's the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors. Young against old, experience versus the newbies. I am so fascinated. Two awesome coaches, one with a proven record beyond reproach. The other one, we all know he's a fantastic coach, but did bounce from
the Rockets to the number two seed.
I know, but he did obviously get bounced from a spot early because of unforeseen
stuff. Not basketball reasons. But
Basketball unrelated reasons, but also like to go into this new spot after everything hanging over him and to turn this team around. We know this dude is one of the best coaches. Yeah. And I'm fascinated because there's all this rhetoric about the NBA. You got to get your playoff scars. And I'm one of those people who says that stuff all the time. But there's something different with Ime, man. He's going at LeBron on the bench.
I think they lose.
I 100% think they lose. But this is the one that's most intriguing to me because on paper, Houston is the better team. I'm saying on paper right now, Steph Curry's 36, Draymond's almost 55. You guys can't see this, but Joe is in his camera right now.
There's never a team in the city of Houston that will be better than the Golden State Warriors as long as Steph Curry's name is in the lineup.
Yo, is in the box score. Man, you're being crazy.
Brother, I watched the Houston Rockets attempt to play a real game today and get waxed 28 minutes into it. All right? I saw Steph Curry put the pedal to the metal against Kawhi and James Harden. That guy is different.
That guy goes
and wins Olympic gold medals. When one of those other guys do that, let me know. Okay?
That's all I'm going to say. I have Golden State winning this series. I'm just saying on paper.
It's going to be a sweep, by the way. It's going to be a sweep.
Wow.
It's going to be over before it started.
From an analytical standpoint, I've seen this before.
I was you once. Okay? I just want you to know that. The Kings had a phenomenal season, and I was like, oh, this is turning. I was like, this is the turning of the page.
I was with you during
this. The Kings are going to beat the Warriors. Warriors took them to game seven, kicked their ass.
What'd they lose that by, like 36, something like that?
It was a thorough ass kicking.
Yeah.
So like when you get into those deep waters with a team that's proven and also a team that again has Wardell, Stephen Curry, the third, I believe it's the third. It's not everybody can swim with the Sharks.
I don't disagree. I'm not taking Golden State. I'm saying this is my most intriguing matchup because of the difference in standings, because of the difference in the statistics for the season. Because of the age difference, I've got Golden.
Don't matter
State.
If you got the ageless wonder out there.
That's true.
Don't matter if you got
Shit,
the
Ray wonder. Allen played till he was like 45, just shooting just threes.
I'm just saying, man.
Who do you have? Guy, as your
looks,
most intriguing
guy looks better now than he did 10 years ago. Somehow, my most intriguing matchup is actually a lot of people probably think I would go with the Nuggets. Nuggets are my second most intriguing matchup.
That's what I was thinking.
There's a whole coaching change late in the season, you know, everything going on there. But I'm going to do the thing that, you know, a lot of people get mad at the media for doing, but how can I not? LeBron, Luka, Gobert, Anthony Edwards, like... The amount of trash talking that if Anthony Edwards gets a leg up in this series, he's going to be
he just needs to make a shot in Luka's face, and it's going to be bad.
Luka versus Rudy Gobert. Do we not remember the last time when Luka was yelling at him after draining a triple to get to the finals, Conference Finals? Like,
and in that Adam Sandler movie. That's who this aunt is going to be.
That's what I'm saying. Shit. This is going to be prime time television. We saw what he did to Kevin Durant last year, and that was his favorite player. He was trash talking him up and down. He don't respect these guys as much as he respects that guy. He's going to be talking cash shit all game long.
I'm actually kind of hyped about this.
It's going to be hilarious.
LeBron's going to be like, Young Buck, take a seat. He's going to be like, fuck you.
It's going to be some of the most high pressure, high octane, just shit talking and animosity. Like, text will be called in this series because people are going to get under people. Once you're playing five, six, seven, eight times, well, not eight times, but five, six, seven times, you're going to get under each other's skin. I think this is a series that can go the distance. I don't think there's much difference between these two squads. Yeah. And
the Timberwolves have the size advantage.
I was going to say the Timberwolves have the one thing that I think is the Achilles heel to the Lakers, and it's that size. The difference between Luka last year and Luka this year playing with the Mavs, he had the size to back him up to play against Rudy and Kat. Now they're missing Kat. They have Naz Reid, but they got Rudy down there. So it's going to make for a very, very interesting matchup, and I cannot wait to watch it.
Well, and don't forget, last year there was a lot of talk about, like, I don't want us to undersell Naz Reid. There was a lot of, like, you don't need Kat if you have Naz Reid.
Yeah, no, Naz
there was a lot of that
crazy
talk last year.
So, I was saying, and you got Julius Randle, and you got Dante. Like,
Julius Randle's back.
It took them, it's interesting, the Timberwolves, it took them all season to figure out the same way the Knicks did. But I think they have gotten it going at the right point. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Knicks were, you know, showing all those signs very early in the season, looking really good early in the season. And then the form kind of dipped as the season went on. Whereas the Timberwolves started slow and now they're really rounding into form. 8 of their last 10, they've won. So it's like they're really getting hot at the right time. They're really all clicking at the right time. So,
and I love Ant. I love this was what John Morant was supposed to do.
Box office.
The way I felt about
Josh, if Ja could just stop with the guns and go, you know, have 10 kids like Ant's trying to, like, it'd be a whole different, you know, talking.
And
point.
The other thing I like about Ant is the, and we've said this, yeah, the grenade.
I love that celebration though. I'm not gonna lie, that one is hilarious. Him, uh-huh. Like, okay, I'll put down the guns, Adam. Bringing out the grenades.
I mean, he's a goofball. He's just a little knucklehead.
He's a knucklehead.
The thing I love about Anthony Edwards is he reminds me a lot of, like, there's some comics I know like this where, like, they talk so much shit and they can back it up, but then they get that big fucking smile and you're like, ah, you know what I mean? We all have a friend.
It's like
that,
I'm really lining you up. It you know who, oh my gosh, I can't believe it took me this long. It makes so much sense because they're from the same area. You know who he reminds me the most of?
I hope we're thinking of the same person.
Cameron Jarrell Noon.
Oh, okay.
He's Cam Noon. Yeah. I was going to say, the one clip that will live forever is Cam Newton playing against the Green Bay Packers. Clay Matthews says, he's going right. They're going right. Oh, you've been watching film, huh? All right, yeah. Watch this.
Dude, that, like, gregariousness mixed with the trash talking, I really.
Oh, man. And
you then know who else has
the thing
NFL?
You said.
Christian
the
Wilkerson
thing,
has it, too.
That's a good point. I was the thing tackle. You said that made it click was that smile.
Yeah.
There's an enjoyment of kicking your ass as well. It's not just I'm gonna kick your ass. I know I'm good. It's that this is what's fun to me.
And not only that, because some people could see that as like I know, like, when I'm playing, if I'm doing anything competitive and the person I'm playing against is beating me and, like, laughing about it, that kind of, like, obviously really gets under my skin. Hmm. But the person that he is off the court, he still has that big smile. Like, he loves life that, in general. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I fucking hate you sometimes, but let's go, bro. Those are the guys you'd run through a
it's
wall
like,
for.
All of this is gravy. It's just all of this is
we're just having fun.
Like, oh, man. Like, why would I be mad? What? There's no point of being mad.
Well, because there's also times where he gets, like, someone will drop a three in his face and he'll just start
laughing. He'll start laughing like, oh, I want that. That's like, that's, of course, I want the best at the best. Like, it's great. It's like when him and KD, like the iconic moment when they were going back and forth, and like he hits a shot on KD, and then KD can't help but smile like, this guy's a fucking maniac.
And I like that. And the only way you can pull that off, like we're talking about with Cam and with Ant, is like you have to be at a different level.
And you have to be, you know, playing against the best. Like,
yeah.
Because that's what's really going to bring it out of you. Like,
because we see it in sports all the time where someone makes a crazy shot and they start talking shit and then their team gets fucking boat raced. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what?
Scoreboard.
Dude, that's one of the things that makes me so happy when I see some of those NFL stuff. Because I've fallen down this rabbit hole on TikTok. Now it's in my algorithm of, like, mic'd up linemen. Mm. And, like, the defensive lineman will be talking shit and the offensive lineman will just point. And I'm like, let's go, dude.
Brennan.
Yes.
I believe you will take the lead on this one. After years of searching for the career Grand Slam, Rory McIlroy, after having a hell of a Friday and Saturday, was in prime position. But I believe he made it a little more difficult than need be on Sunday. Brennan, let us in.
All right. So,
Billison, not let us in.
I can do both. it was so I watched the Masters today. I've watched bits and pieces of it, highlights of it all weekend, really honed in yesterday and today. It was so fascinating. The thing I love about golf, and it took me a very long time to appreciate this, it's the same thing that I've started to appreciate in baseball over the years doing the show with you, where you could have a 6-run lead and one swing of the bat, it all goes away. You know what I mean? It's just like over. And it's the same thing in golf. So Rory McIlroy has had a 10-year drought from his last major win. He has never won at Augusta. He's finished second, third, 10th. Like, he's been up there.
And if I'm not mistaken, like, I think maybe one other person or no one else has completed the slam on Augusta. Like, Augusta's usually like one or two or three. It's never four.
And the people who have completed the slam, by the time they've completed the slam, it's all it's either been within the within the first five times they've tried every single major. So everyone has got it within 5 years or less. They've completed the slam. Rory is now, he's played this course 11 times.
Yeah.
Could not win at this course.
Was close times and just.
Yeah. He's finished second a couple years ago. He chokes sometimes on this course. And the amount of pressure, you couldn't even imagine it. It would be like telling Steph Curry, hey, you have to take a game winning shot. But Steph's probably a bad example because he's like Tiger Woods.
18 game winning shots.
And not only that, in between the shots, we're going to give you 7 to 8 minutes to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just let it rip. You're going to sit here and you're going to think. You're going to really think about how important this is. So there was a couple people in the field. DeChambeau was like a big betting favorite on this one. Justin Rose was kind of a dark horse. Scottie Scheffler was a lot of people's favorite.
I was going to say, was Scottie the coming? Yeah. He won it last year, right?
Yeah, and coming in, he was, I think, number one as far as like betting odds and things like that. I think he was in the last team the first team, the featured team or whatever they call it. Oh, Max Holm was my guy. I've heard a lot
last
of
group,
with him.
I believe.
Yeah, last group. There you go. Thank you. But you know, it's a lot of the same familiar names in the top 20. You know, you got Jordan Spieth, you got Bubba Watson, you got Jason Day. But the real rub was going in today. They tee off. DeChambeau and Rory are paired together, obviously, the main team to go. And
final Rory, pairing. That's what it is.
Killing it. Killing You're killing
me.
It right
it's
now.
Killing me.
Rory double bogeys on the first hole. He's up by four strokes. Going into the day, double bogeys on the first hole. DeChambeau birdies. And everyone's thinking the same thing. Damn it. Not again. Rory, we all want this for you. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
When everyone went to live, he was the one who was standing up for the PGA. Now, you know me, we don't support multinational conglomerates on this program, especially that steal money from their own players right in front of them. But also there is a sense of pride to be like, this is what we've like, this is the squad. It's the PGA. Yeah. Like, don't go take
this tried and true.
This is what we do.
This
man.
Is
like,
what got you to this point, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Show some respect.
Exactly. Just a respect thing. So I've always been a fan of Rory. I've been a fan of Rory since I was like in my 20s, and my uncle would take me to TPC Sawgrass and I'd be like, he's so cool with his hair and his accent. And he's just fucking cool, man.
TPC 17. Love that hole.
The island hole.
The island, baby.
And I immediately think he's going to choke. I'm not going to do a whole rant on this. We're doing a little bit of a shorter show today, but fast forward. He did par and DeChambeau, I think it's another birdie, and we're like, oh, fucking, here we go. And then birdie, par, and DeChambeau, bogey. And I'm like, what is, are we doing this? Justin Rose comes out of fucking nowhere, man. He was like four shots behind. But what happens is, what always happens in these tournaments, what always happens on Sunday, this is why Tiger always wore red, blood in the water. There's so much pressure. Rory doesn't, not to DeChambeau. DeChambeau shits the bed, hitting the water, hitting the bunkers. He just falls apart. Justin Rose catches up to Rory. So he's at 6 under, ends up at 10 under by the end of the day. Rory started at 13 under, ends up at 10 under by the end of the day. Oof. And it's a disaster. Everyone's like, and me personally,
yacking,
I'm like,
sacks over here. Jesus.
Yeah, because I'm like, there's no way. So the way the playoff is set up, the way the overtime, quote unquote, is set up for the Masters, it's sudden death. So you keep playing until one of you hits a better, one of you gets a better score on a hole. Yeah. So, you know, if we both par on the first hole, we go to the second hole.
You keep
going until someone wins. It's sudden death. Whoever wins the hole wins the game. Or wins the Masters. So we go into this, and I'm just trying to build the tension. I'm losing my fucking mind.
To the
I'm
nail. Like, this is crazy.
Justin hits it off the tee. He goes first, obviously. Justin hits it off the tee, right on the green, probably like 10, 12 feet away, maybe even less than that. And you're like, that's a good shot. It didn't roll. He thought it would roll. It didn't roll. Rory goes in, hits it maybe a foot further than
what hole are they playing right now?
18. Hits it a foot. I believe it was 18. Hits it a foot further from where Justin hit it. Caught the hill. Caught the roll that Justin wanted.
Ooh.
So Justin didn't get it. He hit it a little too short. Rory hits it further, but it catches the hill. Comes right down, basically kissing the cup. And you're like, it's over. It's fucking over.
This is the first playoff.
Yeah, this is the first hole.
First playoff hole. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, Justin Rose is a clutch player. He can hit he can hit long putts. It's not long. Again, it's under 10 feet. I'm like, he can do this. Yaks it, bro. Just online, off.
Oh.
At the last second, the ball kind of, you know what I mean? Like just literally looked like it wanted to go in the hole and then just kept rolling straight.
Oh, that's tough.
And it was over. Rory knew it was. Everyone knew it was over. Rory nails the like half Rory a has foot a foot putt, and it was. I started crying because you know me. I'm an emotional
guy. He started crying. I saw his reaction to everything.
It's hard to explain this because it's, golf.
Go ahead. I was just gonna say it was. I remember watching. I didn't see it live, obviously, but I remember watching like the playback of when Steve Young won his first championship. And they literally go to him and say, like, the monk, they, somebody goes and, you know, figuratively takes the monkey off the back. That's what it felt like for Rory, because like we've been outlining, it was the last one he needed. It's been 10 years since winning any major tournament. And it had just been something that, like, at a certain point, people thought he was the next Tiger. Like, he was on that meteoric rise. And then to go through everything he went through, I think he's been through a divorce at this point. And then everything
and everyone thought that would break him.
Yeah. And then everything would live. It was just like so much. He had put so much on himself, and the golfing world put so much on him, thinking that he was going to be the next guy. He became the face of Nike. He became the video game guy. Like, he was built to be this guy. And it felt like he was letting everyone down. Mm-hmm. And so then to have that moment, I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about golf is one of the sports, like we saw Tiger win the Masters at 40 a few years in 2019. Golf is an amazing sport to me. One, because it's so fucking hard. I'm one of the strongest people I've ever met in my life. And you give me a golf club and I'm useless. I can't do anything. So the
crazy personal flex.
The skill, it's a bit that I have. Comics are always like, why do you say you're the strongest person in a room when you do that bit? I go, that's just for me. That's just because I like saying it. And it's always funny to see the aggro bros be like, what do you bench, dude? It's like way more than you, dude. Don't even try it. But it's a sport that requires a level of athleticism that I don't think a lot of the common, like just regular people would think about. The flexibility, the sustainability, the durability required to put your spine and your back and your upper body through that torque. It's like pitchers. Like pitchers, we always say it all the time. If you're throwing 98, you might as well get Tommy John surgery now so you don't have to miss this. You know what I mean? Like, you might as well just do it. And so for him to be, because he's my age, and I remember what you're talking about,
which
man,
is crazy. I want to get to that in a second.
Yeah. But at 23, 24 years old, everyone was looking for the next Tiger. Before Tiger was even done, everyone was looking for the next Tiger. And it was always Jordan Spieth, this might be the guy. Bubba Watson, this might be the guy. And nobody was the guy. And then Rory just ripped through the PGA, but couldn't win the Masters. And then goes through everything he's gone through that you eloquently pointed out. And everyone thought it was over. But golf, more than any other sport that we cover on the show, golf is the one where at 36 you could be like, hold my beer, I think I'm gonna do this. And it's astounding. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing, because so often athletes who can't win the big game or can't accomplish what they want to accomplish, dude, by 32 we're like, all right, cool, that's done, it's over. And this guy at 36 was like, let's roll.
I would say Brooks Koepka. I want to say, did Will Zalatoris win a major? Mm-hmm.
He was another one.
Henrik Stenson.
Stenson, forgot about Stenny.
I was about to say, like, I'm remembering because for like you know, like that period, I was listening to Kornheiser a lot. And Kornheiser, big golf guy. So I'm listening to him and I'm like, oh, yep, this person. Okay. I think this is going to be the guy. Nope, not the guy. Adam Scott. Maybe might be the guy, won't be the guy.
Adam Scott was Tony number one in the world for a while and was never the guy.
John Rahm was. As John well. Rahm, like, same. Wyndham Clark, a random
well, and it's also something that they're looking for is there are some guys who are on the tour. Freddie Couples did this for years. Where you're
Patrick
like
Cantlay,
older.
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas was a big one. Well, you're older, but you've won a bunch of stuff. So like you're still on the tour. You just make your money and you play. But the thing we're talking about right now is the next guy. And in order to be that guy, you got to win at like 19, 20, 21 to take on that Tiger
mantle. To take that mantle.
Yeah, and that's what Rory was. There's plenty of great golfers, but what we're talking about, what the world was looking for, was that specific young, hungry, I'm going to beat everybody's ass. And Rory was that guy for a couple years, and then he lost it.
Who was the guy who, a couple years ago, he like was a top player, and then he like got hurt right before the Masters at like the rental house he was at? Was that Dustin something?
Dustin Johnson.
Dustin Johnson, okay.
Yeah.
So there's a Justin Thomas and a Dustin Johnson. Okay, that's what I was thinking of.
DJ was known because he's like 6 foot five. He could like big hammer guy. The ball. Yeah.
Big guy.
But you were gonna say something about the age thing.
Yeah, so right after he won it, my first thought was, you know, we have talked about on the show for quite some time, like, man, he has 6 years, he hasn't won 7 years. Well,
yeah.
We've been doing the show for 5 years. Well, yeah. So, yeah, 6 years, seven years, eight years, nine years. And then for him to finally win, I was like, man, I know it's been like 9, 10 years. And I was like, how old is Rory? Because I'm looking at the video and I'm like, man, this is a guy who has weathered all, like, he's wearing it on his face. I see the grays popping out at the bottom. Not side parts. Yeah. I'm like, man, my boy has been through the ringer. Like, is he like, is this late stage? Is this like when Phil finally won it? Like, is this a later, like 40 something? And I saw 35 and I was like, he's 4 years older than me. He looks another 10 year to this man.
It's a lot, man.
I would not be stunned if you told me he was 45. Like, he's still effectively should be in his golf prime. He's not in his prime, 100%, prime, but in his golf prime, like Tiger was still winning at 35, 36. Like, well, actually, he could have been winning.
2014 is when he kind of.
Yeah. So it's just like all that time for him when he could have been winning was just kind of lost.
Yeah.
Like there's, We're going to experience this in tennis too now, especially on like the women's side as well as the men's side. It's like people
Coco
who
Gauff's
were at
age,
the
and
top.
I was like, I remember when she was like 14.
She's like what, 21 now? Yeah, 22 maybe. But you had such like dominating figures who were at the top for so long that there's a reason why we were looking for the next Tiger, because we thought, okay, once you get Tiger, you're going to have a bunch more Tiger. You're going to have somebody who's going to come and run roughshod, or two guys who's gonna, you know, just hold the mantle. And it's like there's a reason there's one of those. Like, it's very hard. It's not easy. Like,
we saw the
what Serena did. Exactly. It's like what Serena did is not going to be replicable. What Mike did is not going to be replicable. What Tiger did is not going to be replicable. Like, so
I waited on her husband, by the way.
Her husband,
and their daughter. Yeah.
Oh, Alex. I can't say his last name. Alexis Ohana, something like that.
When you said Serena, I was just like, oh, I got to write that in my notes for Tales from the Restaurant.
but yeah, so it's like, I'm really happy for him. This is something that, I mean, you can see the emotion, the jubilation, the release that this was. Like I said, the weight off his back, because he's been applying, not only has the outside noise, the media and everybody and golf itself been putting this pressure on him, but he has put this pressure on himself as well. Yeah. Like, well, I remember, I think it was at St. Andrews a couple years ago, because that's his home course. And it was like, oh, this is where he's going to finally win it again. And it just didn't work out that way. Yeah. I think he didn't even make the cut.
No, he didn't. And it's interesting, too, because I remember Rory years ago. This must have been when he was in, when he was doing the things like 10, 12 years ago. I remember he had a pairing with Tiger. I think it might have been at a major, or maybe it was just a PGA event. But this is when Tiger was, before, you know, 2000. This was 14 years ago. So like 2010, 11, before all that stuff happened in 14 with him. And I remember Rory wore red, paired with Tiger, who always wears red on Sunday. He wore a black vest with a red undershirt. And everyone's like, who the fuck? And then he beat Tiger. And everyone's like, who the fuck is this guy? And
so, yeah.
The only thing I can relate it to is the Kevin Garnett clip, the Anything Is Possible, because he had the entire Timberwolves franchise leaning on him. He was supposed to be the savior. And we see this all the time in sports. And, you know, there's a line from The Replacements I'll use real quick where he says, your whole team leaned on you and you're crumbled. Is that how you want to be remembered? And then Kevin Garnett goes out with the Celtics and wins a championship.
You have to watch that movie now.
Imagine two nights in a row.
Callback.
Imagine if it wasn't just the Timberwolves. Imagine if the entire NBA was like, Kevin Garnett, save us.
I mean, in a way, like that's what happened with LeBron. Like,
yeah, like that pressure is I couldn't imagine if it worked, because I'm a trainer. If it worked, someone's like, hey, Brennan, can you figure this out? I'm like, oh, there's a lot. This is kind of a lot of responsibility. Could you imagine if all of Landry's was like, Brennan, fix it? I'd be like, fuck off.
I've kind of had to do that in spots, you know, no biggie. $1 million deals on the table with Ford, and I had to, you know, recut an entire episode, take all the swear words out, all the damns out, you know, no biggie. But
it's astounding to perform in that kind of pressure.
I'll actually relate it to this sport and this course. Tiger's 2019. Tiger stopped winning majors before I graduated high school, I want to say.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
I want to say 2011, maybe 2010.
I think 2011 actually sounds right.
I would say either 2010 or 2011. And for him to finally get that 2019 one, you could see him releasing emotions that we've never seen him show in that way. So, shout out to Rory.
Dude, you're not going to believe this.
2011?
No, 2008.
Wow. So, okay. I was going to say, I can't remember when the, all the Perkins waitresses stuff.
That was That was November of 2014.
Yeah. Wait, no, the I'll Perkins never stuff? Forget it.
Yeah.
No, I think it's 2008.
Was it 2008?
Yeah. Because not 2014. I wasn't in college when all that came out.
Really?
No, I wasn't in college. I know I wasn't in college for that. It might have been 2010 or 2008.
Wow. You were way closer than I was. I knew it was in November because I remember being home.
Yeah, it was around Thanksgiving. Yeah.
And I remember watching it with my dad on the TV, 2009.
Yeah, okay. So he last won in 2008.
Damn, man. The older I get, the more time kind of fucking blurs together.
Yeah. I was I know I'm not in college for sure.
He was 97, 99, 2000, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2002. 2005, 2006, 2007, 2007, 2008. God, this guy won so many fucking majors.
Won a lot of majors. And then from 8 to 19?
Yeah, he won the Open Championship in 8. And then from 8 to 19, didn't win another.
11 years. So, yeah.
U.S. Open, Open Championship, Tiger's doing it, Tiger's doing it. And then we found out Tiger's doing it.
Tiger's doing it in the Perkins parking lot.
Perkins.
Don't even know if they're still around at this point. Is Perkins still
they are. Still are in they? Florida.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Tiger keeping them afloat.
Maybe. That was good, though. Congrats to.
And use it twice. Quick.
Joe hit the button twice.
I did.
And you'd be surprised how quick.
Quick. Name it hits.
Quick hit.
All right. NHL. Brennan, NHL, we talked about it up top. Still not over yet, somehow. But there was one thing I did want to point out. Saw this fun stat on ESPN. The U.S. teams that are part of the original six I believe that's Boston. Clicking Chicago. On the article now. Is it Chicago? Yeah, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, I thought, and the Rangers. So four of the original six all are missing the NHL playoffs for the first time ever. Wow. Ever.
I can't believe the Rangers lost, man. When they played the Preds, they destroyed them.
It's crazy. Was that the one game you went to this year, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the playoff breakdown. I'm just going to wait till next week when the playoffs are set because this needs to end already.
We've been playing this game for 4 weeks.
I think we covered last week Ovi breaking the record. Ovi's closing in on 900. He has two more games to get to that. I think he's about three or four goals off right now. So that is fun to keep up with. And I kind of, you know, spoiled the Fulham thing, but Fulham didn't have a game since we last talked to you guys. We play tomorrow. I believe we play, is it Brentford or is it Bournemouth? Checking in right now.
It's Brentford? No, I'm just guessing.
No. Bournemouth. Nailed it.
Ah, damn it. I was hoping you'd see it before I did. And you'd be like, yeah, it's Brentford.
It's Bournemouth. One piece of news. Harry Wilson, who missed about 10 weeks or so, he is fit and could be on the bench.
Is Harry Wilson the kid from England?
Wales.
Yeah, he played. Doesn't he play for the Welsh English national
wizard.
Team?
No, the Welsh wizard.
Oh, I'm sorry. We talked about this.
You're thinking Harry Kane. That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, yep.
Different Harry. Like a lot of Harrys over there. No, he's like mid-30s. He's playing in Germany right now.
You know who aged really fast? Wayne Rooney.
Really fast? What are you talking about? Wayne Rooney that was, a guy was like
I remember being
relevant
a kid.
When we were young.
I know, but I was like, I remember being a kid and everyone's like, he's such a young striker. He's so good. Blah, blah, blah.
Harry Kane is my age. Holy shit.
All right.
He's 31. Wayne Rooney's like almost 50 at this point.
But it's just
whoa,
weird.
He's only 39.
No.
He's 39.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because he was, but he just looked like he's like, I remember being a kid thinking he's only like a couple years older than me. He's gonna
still
be
only a couple years older than you.
Yeah, I'm aware. But I remember being like, oh, this guy's, because you know, sometimes in soccer, people play until they're like 35.
Yeah. Give or take. He, I mean, he still
been out
did
of the league for a minute.
Well, he left. His last Premier League start was in 2018, but then he went to DC for a year.
Yeah, that's 10 years ago.
DC
almost.
2 years.
It's 7 years ago.
Then he played a season for Derby County, and that was the end of his career. He was a player coach for Derby.
Yeah, but could you just imagine being like, hey, you're supposed to be like the savior of English soccer, and then by the time you're 29, you're out of the Premier League? Yeah, that's true. You're right. They do kind of prop these guys up and really overmarket them.
29? 2018? Yeah. How old are you in 2018?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking he was only a couple years older than me. He's 39, right? Yeah.
He's 39 now, yes.
So I would have been 30. So, yeah, 29.
No, he's older than you. You would have been 30 in 2018. So he would have been like 34.
Got it. Bad at math. That's why I majored in political science, people.
Okay. Well, that's our Wayne Rooney update. Let's get out of here.
And we'll bring you the press conference in its entirety.
All right, Brennan, where can we find you?
I stand by my statement. If you were supposed to be the savior of English soccer and you're out of the Prem at 33, that's still crazy.
Well, Harry Kane is out of the Prem. Was out of the Prem at like 29. Still playing high club. Difference, he's still playing Champions League ball.
Yeah,
but
going to MLS. Messi went to MLS at like 41. at Brennan T Comedy on all social media, BrennanTComedy.com. Check out the Bro Adjacent Tour. I'm on the road with Matt Fulcher on the Full Charge. We're going to be in Boston by the time you're hearing this. And then we've got two shows in Connecticut. And then I will be in Charlotte on the 27th of April. And then May, I will be doing a run in Florida, May 27th through the 31st.
Messi was 35 going into Miami.
God dang it, man. I'm way off on these numbers today. I don't know why I think soccer, which is one of the hardest endurance sports, is
I was about to say, it's one of the
it's
most
like golf.
Demanding
it's like, yeah, they're still doing it at 40. Joe, I don't think
every once in a while you might get a guy who's like, if somebody like Tim Ream, who might be like 36 or 37 now, he was Fulham's center back just last year. And it's because he's playing center back. He's playing at the back of the pitch. He's not getting a lot of run in. He played until he's 35. Played Premier League ball until 35. So, 36. Yeah, because he's 1 year removed. So, 36. All right. You can check out me. You can check out the show's Twitter and Instagram at Cheering Press. You can check out the show on Blue Sky at Cheering Press. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Anulo Network. That is Who Does a Pod. That is Anulo itself. Don't forget to check out Headphone Joe on all your DSP. Headphone Joe, no O, no E in the phone. Also, if you go to Headphone Joe, no O, no E in the phone, .etsy.com, you can get my merch. I believe that's it. Brennan, let's get out of here so we can go to sleep, baby.
And that's why.
Welcome to the big leagues!
I don't know why I hit that.
And that's why we play the game.
Hello.
Hello. Forgot it last week. Huge shout out to Ovi. Also, huge shout out Rory McIlroy. He did it.
And RIP to Kylan Lacy.
Yes.